Mr. Kane.
Yes, sir.
Frito with Candy 95.
Nice to meet you, sir.
How's Texas treating you so far? Let's have a seat.
Texas is treating me marvelously. The hospitality has been great. The people have been great. It's been a very warm welcome, and I've just had a great time here the last couple of days.
We deal with a lot of college students on our radio station. Really quickly, what's wrong with America today, and what are you going to do to fix it?
The thing that's wrong with America today is that this economy is on life support. It's not growing. You all are going to get a good education because you're going to a good university. We got good schools all over this country, but if you graduate and you can't find a job because the economy is stagnant, we've done a disservice to you. This is why my number one domestic issue and my number one domestic solution is to grow the economy, which is why I have put a bold plan on the table that you've probably heard about called 999.
Explain 999.
999 is where we take the existing tax code, throw that out, and then we pass legislation that imposes a 9% business flat tax, a 9% personal income flat tax, and a 9% national sales tax. It replaces the corporate income tax, the personal income tax, the capital gains tax, the death tax, and the biggest tax that a lot of people pay, the payroll tax. So we replace those five taxes with three, and it generates initially the same amount of revenue. But most importantly, it provides certainty for businesses so they can start growing again.
A lot of the frustration that I hear with Washington is this: become a country club. It's an insiders only affair. As an outsider, as president, what do you hope to be able to do to overcome that?
What I plan to do to overcome that good old boys club is to basically utilize the power of the presidency to change Washington, D.C., not become a part of Washington, D.C. Now, what I mean by that is as follows. I respect the Congress of the United States of America. I will work with the Congress of the United States of America. I will work with both sides of the aisle. But my leverage in getting things passed will be the voice of the people. Because if the voice of the people is right there with me, as we are trying to pass legislation that the people can understand, that's going to be the leverage that I plan to use in order to get things done.
And turn it over to Bill Oliver with WTAW.
Hello, Bill.
Howdy.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for coming to College Station.
It is my pleasure. Happy to be here.
And College Station's on the docket because?
It is on the docket because you have a very good bookstore here and you have a lot of people who want to buy books.
Well, we're a Bortz affiliate, and the message from Neil is return his emails, would you?
Well, when he can learn to spell right, I'll return his emails. No, Neil's a great friend. As you know, Neil is very fond of this town and this university because he went here, and he's been a great friend to me because I have to give him credit for giving me. He was one of the people who gave me my start in radio. So he now wants to take credit for me running for president. But you got to draw the line somewhere.
Well, let's move into books. Why is This Is Herman Cain resonating so well?
The reason it's resonating so well is because when I put together my exploratory committee back in January, one of the questions often asked by everybody, since I was not in the public limelight nationally, was, who is Herman Cain? And so we came up with the idea, well, why don't we answer that question as I go along this journey? And that really was the motivation for it. It's not an autobiography. It is a memoir of many of the things that have happened in my life that helped to shape who I am. And the people who have already read it have said that it does just that. Because I'm more than my resume. I'm more than my business accomplishments. We wanted to make sure that this book presented who is Herman Cain in terms of his personality, his style, his risk-taking, and things of that nature. Some of those things that are much more intangible. So that is the whole thesis behind the book, This Is Herman Cain.
How much of that carries over into the campaign and your philosophy as you're running for president?
Oh, a lot of it carries over into my campaign, because one of the things that a lot of people have picked up on and they appreciate is my personality that I bring to my campaign. In other words, I never intended to be a shaped candidate. And because I continue to say that I'm the only non-politician running, and I think people see that, I'm not shaped and, you know, and told not to say this because it's not political correct, because when I was in college, I failed political correctness. And so I don't plan to be politically correct. So a lot of that carries over because I like to just connect with people as if I'm sitting down having a one-on-one conversation with them.
But how can you sit down on one-on-one conversations as president in trying to sway two chambers of Congress?
Well, you do it the same way you would do with a big corporation. First, I work with the leaders of the House and the Senate. Secondly, I work with the leaders in the House and the Senate. And whenever I have an idea that I think is good for the country, I'm going to make sure that all of those that can get on board, we're going to sit down and work with them to make sure that they can also be apostles of that particular idea. And that's how I plan to do it. But most importantly, I plan to spend a lot of time making sure that the American people understand the proposals. For example, my 999 Economic Growth and Jobs Plan, it's already resonating with people because it didn't take 2,700 pages to explain. It's not a 59-point plan like one of my competitors in this primary race with 160 pages. It's not tied to the existing tax code. And so my plan distinguishes itself in that regard, and the American people can understand it.
The campaign's a marathon and not a sprint.
Yes. The campaign is a marathon and not a sprint. That is absolutely true. I officially announced in May of this year, May 21st, we got off to a great start, because we were expecting 5,000 people that day to show up in Atlanta's Centennial Olympic Park. We were blown away when 15,000 people showed up. And I believe that that was the first indication that the American people were ready for a non-politician and a problem solver, and not just someone who had held elected office.
Thanks again for visiting with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.